The 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. Jesus said to the crowds, "That is what the kingdom of God is like. A man throws seed on the land. Night and day, while he sleeps, when he is awake, the seed is sprouting and growing. How, he does not know. Of its own accord, the land produces first the shoot, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the crop is ready, he loses no time. He starts to reap because the harvest has come." He also said, "What can we say the kingdom of God is like? What parable can we find for it? It is like a mustard seed, which the time of its sowing in the soil is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet once it is sown, it grows into the biggest shrub of them all and puts out big branches so that the birds of the air can shelter in its shade." Using many parables like these, he spoke the word to them, so far as they were capable of understanding it. He would not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything to his disciples when they were alone.
Shortly after the conversion of Mary Magdalene, Jesus is speaking to some poor people in Magdala, the Magdalene's hometown, about the conversion of souls. He says, "Souls must react by themselves. I pass and sow the seed. The seed works in secret. A soul is to be respected in this work. If the first seed does not take root, another must be sown, and a third one. One must give up only when there is definite proof that it is useless to sow. And one prays. Prayer is like dew on the clods of earth. It keeps them soft and it nourishes them so that the seed will sprout." And Jesus asks a woman nearby, "Isn't that what you do, woman, with your vegetables?" Now listen to the parable of how God works in the hearts of men to establish his kingdom there. Every heart is a small kingdom of God on the earth. Later, after death, all these small kingdoms will agglomerate into one immeasurable, holy, eternal kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is created in men's hearts by the divine sower. Man belongs to God because every man is initially his. God comes to his field and sows his seed. He then goes to other fields, to other hearts. Days follow nights and nights follow days. The days bring sunshine and rain. In our case, these are rays of divine love and effusion of divine wisdom speaking to the Spirit. The nights bring stars and restful silence. In our case, these are enlightening calls of God and silence for the soul, so that the soul may collect its thoughts and meditate. The seed, under this imperceptible but powerful influence, swells, splits, takes root, sprouts and grows. This happens without any help from man. The soil spontaneously produces grass from seeds. The herb becomes strong and supports the rising ear. The ear grows, swells, hardens, and becomes golden and perfect when seeding. And only then, when it is ripe, the sower comes back and cuts it, because the time of perfection has arrived for that seed. It cannot develop any further, and so it is harvested. My word does the same work in hearts. I'm referring to the hearts which receive the seed. But it is a slow process, and one must not spoil everything by being hasty. How troublesome it is for the little seed to split and take root. Such work is also painful for a hard, wild heart. It must open itself and be satisfied with working humbly for the benefit of the divine thought without drawing other people's admiring attention. It must exert all its talent to grow and burst into ear. It must burn with love to become corn. And after overcoming all fears of human opinion, which are so grievous, it must give everything to receive everything. It must be divested to be clad again in heaven with the stole of sainthood. The life of a sinner who becomes a saint is the longest, most heroic and glorious fight, I tell you. Love is the seed of the plant that sprouts in you and grows up as far as heaven. And in its shade all the other virtues sprout. I will compare it to the tiny mustard seed. How small it is. It is one of the smallest seeds that man sows. But look how big and leafy it becomes when it has grown up, and how much fruit it bears. Not 100%, but 100 to 1. It is the smallest, but it is the most diligent in working. How much profit it gives you. Love is the same. If you enclose in your hearts a tiny seed of love for your most holy God and for your neighbour, and if you accomplish your deeds guided by love, you will not fail in any of the precepts of the Decalogue. You will not lie to God by means of a false religion of practices, but not of the Spirit. You will not lie to your neighbour, behaving as ungrateful children, as adulterers, as over-demanding husbands and wives, as thieves in business, as liars in life, or as violent avengers towards your enemies. Look how many birds have taken shelter in this warm hour of the day among the branches of the trees in the garden. Before long, that mustard plant, which now is still very small, will be a real perch for birds. All the birds will come to the safe shade of those thick and comfortable trees, and their little ones will learn to fly safely among those branches which they can climb without falling. Such is love, the foundation of the kingdom of God. Love and you will be loved. Love and you will bear with one another. Love and you will not be cruel by wanting more than what is lawful from those who are under you. Love with sincerity to obtain the peace and glory of heaven. Let the work of bringing yourselves to perfection be continuous, as the seed continuously grows until it is perfect. A silent, humble, patient work. You may rest assured that God sees your struggles, and he will grant you a greater reward for overcoming your selfishness, for holding back a rude word, and for satisfying a necessity without being ordered to do so. And it will be a greater reward that if in a battle you kill the enemy. The kingdom of heaven, which you will possess if you live as just people, is built with the little things of every day. Therefore, with goodness, moderation, patience, and with being satisfied with what one has, bear with one another, with love, love, love. Peter asks Jesus why he speaks so much in parables. Parables serve very well to make people understand the comparison, but we know that they have a higher meaning. Why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus replies, because they don't understand more than I explain. You are granted much more because you are my disciples, and you must be acquainted with the mystery. And you are therefore given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That is why I say to you, ask me if you do not understand the spirit of the parable. You give everything, and everything is given to you, so that you, in your turn, may give everything. You are giving everything to God, love, time, interests, freedom, and your lives. And God gives you everything to reward you and to enable you to give everything in the name of God to those who come after you. Thus, to him who has given will be given abundantly. But he who gave only partly or does not give at all will be deprived also of what he has. I speak to them in parables so that, while seeing, they may see what is illuminated by their will to adhere to God, and while listening, always through the same will, they may hear and understand. Many hear my word, but few adhere to God. Their spirits lack good will. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them. You will hear with your ears and will not understand. You will look with your eyes and will not see. This people is hard-hearted. Their ears are hard and their eyes are closed. Hence they may not see and hear, and they may not understand with their hearts and convert to enable me to cure them. But you are blessed, because your eyes see and your ears hear, and because of your goodwill. I said to you this morning, the day will come when you will find everything I have given you. Now you cannot remember, but later light will come upon you, not just for a moment, but for an inseparable union of the eternal spirit with yours, whereby your teaching concerning what pertains to the kingdom of God will be infallible. And what applies to you will also apply to your successors, if they live of God as from one bread only. Some time later, Jesus is asked by Bartholomew, "Why do you say that those you entrust to follow you have different missions? And why do you say that we have to consider those missions as a gift of God? Should we not ignore them as well, because they are but crumbs compared to the kingdom of heaven?" "Not crumbs," says Jesus. "They are means. They would be crumbs, or better still, they would be dirty straw if they became man's aim in life. Those who busy themselves to obtain a position with a human prophet turn that position, even if it is a holy one, into dirty straw. You must instead accept it obediently as a joyful duty and a complete holocaust, and then you will turn it into a very rare pearl. A mission is a holocaust if it is fulfilled unreservedly. It is a martyrdom and a glory. It drips tears, perspiration and blood, but it forms a crown of eternal royalty." And Bartholomew says, "You can really answer all questions." But Jesus asks, "Have you understood? Do you understand that what I say by means of comparisons taken from everyday life is enlightened by a supernatural light that explains their eternal meaning?" "Yes, Master, we do." "Well, remember then that method to teach crowds, because this is one of the secrets of scribes and rabbis to remember. I solemnly tell you that each of you, imbued with the wisdom that ensures the possession of the kingdom of heaven, is like the father of a family. He takes from his treasury what is necessary for his family, and he makes use of both old and new things for just one purpose, the welfare of his children."